Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump, yes.
A good Thursday morning, one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let me put my phone on mute. You got Mike and Pete across the way, other side at the controls, Bogus with your updates as we roll with you for the next 3 hours right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Lot to get into. We're going to head out to Oklahoma a little later on in the program. Beautiful part of the country, no question about it. But we're going to chat with Ryan Abier, Oklahoma Sooners. Ryan Abier, Oklahoma Sooners beat writer for the Oklahoman, is going to join Taz and myself. Why? Because you had the Kyler Murray Pro Day, and he's going to join us right around 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time, 5:15 Pacific. So look forward to that conversation. Taz, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good, Moose. Good. Looking forward to another great show, you and I, but I hope you're doing well also.
Yeah, hanging in there. It's a Thursday. We're doing well.
Yeah, we're battling through. That's what we do. We barrel through. We're locked in all
life's
the time.
Good.
That's
life's
just,
good.
Yeah, this is what we do.
That's exactly
locked
right.
In.
Locked
that's
in. No question right, yeah. About it. As the NFL is in full focus, as rightfully so, as 4 o'clock Eastern time yesterday, the new league year did begin, Taz, and all the deals that were reported on that took place on Monday, Tuesday, and early Wednesday morning became official on Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, everything that we chat about in the Giants officially, make that deal with the Cleveland Browns, as the Browns make it official, the Giants make it official, as Odell Beckham Jr. is now a Cleveland Brown here moving forward. And for that city, the joyous celebration continues because if you're a Brown fan, I don't think there is a team in the NFL. Jets had a very, very good 2.5 days. Raiders added some talent, including Williams, the big wide receiver, speed receiver from the Los Angeles Chargers, was an addition that gave him $44 million. 22 million, I believe, guaranteed yesterday, Taz, to throw into the mix with Antonio Brown.
Right.
Brown officially gets introduced as an Oakland Raider. We'll get into that too. No longer with the blonde mustache either.
That's a good thing.
But I don't think there is a team or a fan base that is more excited than the Cleveland Browns right now.
I don't think it's possible.
I really don't.
I don't think it is. I agree with you. Right? I mean, God. I mean, I almost feel like I want to be a Browns fan. Not going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not a Browns hater, but I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can speak for you, Moose, but I'm going to enjoy watching them from afar. It's like the Chiefs last year. We enjoyed watching the Chiefs. A lot of people called the show all throughout the NFL season. I know you enjoyed watching Mahomes, so did I. This team, this Browns team, seems like they're going to be more exciting to watch than that team.
Yeah, which is difficult with how good, you know, the cheetah Tyreek Hill was, and certainly Mahomes and his ability to make all the throws and the no-look passes,
right,
and everything that he was able to do. But, yeah, I don't disagree. And Taz, it's tangible. I mean, they are on pace and were on pace even before the Beckham trade, but they're going to sell out of their season ticket allotment.
Crazy.
The Cleveland Brown fan and fan base, they're on their way. And that is going to be a packed stadium out there in Cleveland, Ohio. You've got a team now with Beckham, with Landry. We've run through all the particulars offensively for an organization that it's no longer about, oh, all right, well, we went 7-8-1 last year. Let's try and win 10 games this year. 11
right,
games.
Right.
I mean, this is a team that right now is, and rightfully so, the betting favorite to win the AFC North, and they should be.
They
I know some
be,
are going to tell you that, well, you know, I believe in the Steelers, or how do you doubt the Baltimore Ravens and everything that they went through, and Lamar Jackson, they added Mark Ingram and Earl Thomas yesterday.
Right, right.
You know, but it's a defense that lost a lot, and certainly now a quarterback that's got to prove that he can continue to throw the football. The Cincinnati Bengals aren't even in the course of the conversation. you know, the Cleveland Browns and John Dorsey and give that ownership credit. And that's what, you know, when an owner, even as lost as he might be, when you turn it over to guys that know what the hell they're doing, and Dorsey is a brilliant general manager, Taz, when you turn it over to a guy that knows exactly what he is doing, you have an organization now that is built the right way, the draft to develop, and the ability to trade certain assets like a Zeitler to the Giants to add Olivier Vernon, like a Jabril Peppers and two draft choices, a first and a third. But that third round choice they got from the New England Patriots and the Danny Shelton deal as a draft asset to go out and get yourself Odell Beckham Jr. When you do that and you're Dorsey and you're able to strike when the iron's hot, and able to make the right deal at the right time, you have an organization that is set up for immediate, consistent success, and that is exactly what this Browns team is.
No doubt. I mean, you laid it out in perfect form. I mean, really, the key is, right, you got your quarterback. You got your franchise quarterback in Baker Mayfield. And just as in, just that alone, people were excited about this coming season, how good this guy did in his first year as a rookie. And with the weapons that are around him. But now, you know, when you bring Beckham into the fold, and, you know, we understand everything with Kareem Hunt, but once he's able to play, I mean, from a football perspective, the guy is an unbelievable running back. And you got Nick Chubb there. You got Duke Johnson. We went over this. You're right. But I'm just saying, like, that the key is to me is they finally have their franchise quarterback. And now they're building with mega stars around him, guys that are great. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, we've talked about them a little bit on the defensive side of the ball for the Browns with Myles Garrett, how great he is. Denzel Ward, the unbelievable D-back, cornerback at Ohio State. It's his second year now. I mean, he got banged up a little bit late in the year, but that kid's great. And Vernon, as you said, coming. There's something about them that they're going to be, and we said this yesterday a couple times, they're going to be must-see TV. They really are. I really believe that.
And the magic that Mayfield had collegiately, you saw in year one when finally he was put into that starting lineup and your starting quarterback where he had the 26 touchdown passes, surpassing the rookie mark of Peyton Manning in his first year in his campaign, you know, as a quarterback in the National Football League. You know, you saw the Mayfield and all the – you know, the non-believers as he went number one overall, and that's going to be the transformative selection. Everything else is gravy. But, I mean, to get the quarterback and to make the right choice from their perspective, where they graded out Mayfield to be the quarterback for them and right. for that organization, Taz, that and people, you know, still run around at that stage when they drafted him, comparing him to Johnny Manziel, who flamed out once again this time in the Canadian Football League, Taz. But Dorsey, true to his convictions, makes a guy, brings a guy, and that's where the change brings. He's an institution of change. He did it in Oklahoma, and now he's doing it with the Cleveland Browns. And that when you have that quarterback, that not only sells hope, but that sells wins. And you saw it this past year with the Cleveland Browns, which got me thinking a little bit. You know, you look at that city. Right, and people often describe it the mistake by the lake, and
yeah.
you know who the hell wants to live in Cleveland, Ohio? And it's a beautiful city. You go they've got a rich tradition of sports. Not a lot of winning, but a rich tradition of sports. Let me ask you: do you think a Browns championship would mean more than the LeBron title a few years back?
I do. I think it's a football town.
Even though LeBron's was the first.
Even though
LeBron delivered the first championship to that city.
My first instinct, like, I didn't know you were going to answer that question, right? You know, we don't work off a script here, as you know, right? When you asked, my first reply was, I think the Browns, I do. And I understand how amazing that was, what LeBron did and what they did, you know, with the Cavs and all that stuff. I feel that city is a football city. Traditionally, that whole area of Ohio, as you know, Moose, high school football.
Yeah,
school players coming out. Huge. Yeah. Great players for years in the NFL and big-time colleges out of that part of the United States and that great state of Ohio. And I just feel I think if they won the Super Bowl, oh, my God. That mistake by the lake might sink in a lake. There'd be so much partying going on.
No, I get it. No, and listen, I can understand that. You know, but you don't think there's the special quality. And I'm not disagreeing. I think they're obviously, and you nailed it, Taz. I think there are more Brown football fans than there are Cavalier fans.
I think so.
I think football is a more popular sport in Cleveland, Ohio. I think, as it is across the country, it's the number one sport. But they wouldn't be the first. You know, there's not that special quality of a guy coming back to that city and delivering and bringing a championship to Cleveland, Ohio. Let me put it to this way. If LeBron never left, say if LeBron...
Different story, because he's from there.
He's from Akron,
that's
right.
If he didn't leave, I think that's a different story.
So if LeBron never went to Miami and had his quote-unquote college years and went to the finals four times and won two championships, do you think if that never happened and he finally delivered that city a championship, you know, Akron's own, Cleveland guy, you know, drafted by the Cavaliers number one overall, you think that would mean more even than a Browns championship? Because I have a tendency to agree with you.
Yeah, I think that would make it if he didn't leave.
I think you look at it now, I think the Brown fan, and you know, even with the LeBron championship and the Cavaliers, I think the Brown fan looks at their team and says, finally, right?
Yeah.
If they're able ever to win a championship, you're right. I mean, I think that city would rock like it's never rocked before. And that's not being disrespectful to what that Cavalier team did.
No.
It's just a matter of the popularity.
I think Cleveland Indians, they love their Indians.
They love their Indians, but it's the Browns.
Right. No doubt.
Around in certain cities, Taz, and, you know, listen, I think if you go down, for example, maybe it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because I think people down in South Beach are more concerned about the beach than they are about their sports
half
the
time. Yes, and Mai Tais.
But if you go down there, I think they're more concerned about the Dolphins winning another Super Bowl than, say, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Marlins. I think they're more into that than they are anything else. I think the Dolphins title would supersede anything else in that city because, just like Ohio, football's king.
Yeah, no, that in the state of
High
Florida.
High school football,
college football,
NFL football. You can talk football
constantly
all year long.
Down in Florida, no doubt. Yeah, I definitely think the Dolphins Super Bowl, if they came back, they win the Super Bowl one day. It's not going to be this coming year. I do think that would be epic for that whole part of South Florida, that whole state of Florida, but especially South Florida, for sure.
And then you get into the fallout in New York with the Giants and Dave Gettleman not addressing the media, not talking to the media, the Giants issuing a statement, as most organizations do when they trade away a veteran player or any player of any kind of significance or consequence to their team, Taz. You know, we thank him for what he provided for the Giants. We do this, we do that.
Blanket statement stuff.
Right, yeah. And it goes part and parcel with making the kind of a deal. But I will say this. I think when you trade a player of the quality of Odell Beckham Jr., and you could debate, you know, his personality, how big of a distraction he was, and I think there are those that support Odell Beckham Jr. and those that rip Odell Beckham Jr. And they're also, you know, almost celebrating the fact that he got traded and that the Giants didn't win all that much when he was a member of the Giants, even with all of his gaudy stats. I think if you're Gettleman, don't you have to address the media and come out there, you know, after this new league year does begin, after this trade gets officially announced, and talk to your fan base exactly what the game plan is? Because you trade away Beckham, and that's fine. As an organization, if you feel like the assets you're getting back in return, Peppers, the third-round pick, the first-round draft choice, is enough quality back to trade a player like that, and you had grown frustrated, that's fine. But then why have a 38, 39-year-old quarterback in Eli Manning? Don't you have to address and
be open and honest when
you're telling everybody we don't give up on talent, I didn't sign him to trade him, and then a few months later, you're trading them?
Yeah.
Or even he said it, he echoed it out in Indianapolis, and then a few weeks later, they're trading them.
Yeah. No, I agree. And normally, I believe in you deal with every player the same way. If a player leaves, you trade them, whatever. And if you have a regular protocol where you're going to put a blanket statement out there, okay, fine. As opposed to getting in front of the media and saying it, you know, like an adult on a microphone, you know, in front of people. I think in this case, you got a guy that, for the most part, yeah, he did have, although Beckham had people, Giant fans that didn't like him, but they loved his talent. And the bulk of the Giants fans loved him, but there were some that didn't like him because he's a polarizing, combustible type of personality, Odell Beckham. But you cannot deny the amazing, I mean, I was watching a highlight reel they had on one of the networks on TV yesterday of a lot of his excellent catches throughout his time with the Giants.
Yeah.
And you almost forget how amazing this guy's hands are, and his athletic ability, and his one-handed catches. Like, and you watch this, you're like, wait, you traded him? Right? You know, putting aside all the other nonsense, you know, I understand. But I do think that Gettleman should have got in front of cameras and a microphone and made a statement and somehow said something about, you know, look, you said you didn't bring him, you didn't pay him all this money to trade him, and you did. So you got to say something. You can't just have your PR guy from the Giants put out a statement. It's just a blanket BS statement. That's what it is.
Yeah, where, you know, they wish Olivier Vernon and Odell Beckham Jr. success in Cleveland, that they thank them both for what they provided as member of the New York Giants. And even if the approval rating of the trade was at 55% or, say, 60%, there's still 40% of your fan base that are upset that Odell Beckham Jr. is no longer a Giant.
Absolutely.
And even though you don't have to speak to, say, the majority, or say it's 50-50, and you don't have to, you know, you know 50% approve of the deal, you still have to speak to them about what this means, and you also have to speak to the fan base of what it means here moving forward, too, and exactly what the game plan is here for the Giants. Because right now it looks like it's a complete and utter rebuild, where almost you feel bad for Saquon Barkley about where he is, or maybe they're going to take the Dallas Cowboys model. I saw someone throw this out there, where they're going to try and run the ball down your throat, win time of possession, play low-scoring games, something of that nature.
Good luck.
Because you look at it now, Taz, I mean, you can't tell me they're going to be a better offense without Odell Beckham Jr. or a more explosive
offense. Eli's biggest weapon.
Whether you take him away from off the field and away from the team, he makes everyone's job, with the attention that he draws, play in and play out.
Forget about it.
It makes everyone's job easier.
And like I was saying yesterday, even though they play different positions, without Beckham there, Barkley's in, you know, he's in trouble, because that every defensive coordinator, the Giants will basically be pretty easy to prep for.
Stack the box.
What are you going to do? What is this kid going to do? It's, you know, it's not exactly they got this great offensive line there. They don't. So, you know, even if they did, it's like, gets to a point where you're a one-headed monster. And, you know, in the NFL, you can't be anymore. You can't be a one-headed monster. You got to have a lot of different ways you can go with play calling, from throwing to running to running back system, which we've seen work a lot as of recent NFL, with guys out of the backfield catching the ball, running routes like a Lev Bell can do, or like we see Kamara do with the Saints. I'm a big fan of the kid with the Giants, so no doubt. He's great. I mean, but it's Beckham being gone. It's like, Eli, what is Eli going to do? Who's he throwing to?
Well, and that's the truth. And then you say, well, you know, when does it become a point where, even regardless of the player's talent, right, even regardless of that, you know, does the personality and the distractions, you say, as an organization, he's not representing the Giants the way that we want to be represented outside, off the football field, whether it be the interview that he did and who was sitting next to him, Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah, that was so
whether
weird.
It be the, you know, the picture where, you know, the perception was there was some sort of, you know, with the hotel room, remember, with the young woman, and there was the thought process, there was something that was there of, you know, that gets you high. Was allegedly there, you know, and that kind of video, the stuff on, you know, where you're not throwing support behind your quarterback after you pay him. See, I think from the Giants' perspective, Taz, I do know that they thought a lot of that nonsense would go away when they paid him.
Yeah.
And a lot of the nonsense didn't go away when they paid him. And I think they grew frustrated as an organization to where they said, you know, we're not winning with him, so what's it going to hurt if we trade him away? We're not going to win without him right away either, but we're going to have guys that, you know, that are going to represent our franchise the right way.
I mean, it's a tough thing.
I think that's the way they looked at it.
And I understand that.
I think they might have thought that if we paid him, maybe all this kind of immaturity would have stopped, and it didn't.
Yeah, I know.
It's attention-seeking, social media attack.
And I know it's different deals, but the similarities between Antonio Brown, you know, that whole situation with the Steelers, I'm just saying they play the same position. They're both two of the best of all, you know, right now, of playing in the NFL. But back to the Giants, I just think that it's a tough thing, right? Because you can understand their point. If you get a guy who's maybe not getting along with the coaches, or they feel like, you're saying, he's doing immature stuff, and he has been, and you don't know what he's going to do, and then once you pay him, he's, you know, it's still not working right. There's still not a good chemistry or cohesiveness with him and the staff and whatnot. That's tough. I mean, if you're the Giants, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't. I'll agree with the Giants on, like, for the most part, not that they said it like this, but you can't have guys that are undisciplined and disrespectful, and that are think they're bigger than the machine, that just are going to be you know, defiant. You're just insubordinate and defiant.
Right.
You can't have that.
You know what, but Taz, the interesting thing is this. He wasn't with his teammates. If you ask his teammates, now he worked his rear end off.
Right.
He was a tremendous practice player.
Yeah, no, I know.
He did all of his necessary work on the field. He was passionate about football. Maybe he was a little bit too emotional.
Quit on his team like we saw Antonio Brown do.
Antonio Brown did, Taz. Didn't do any of that. So it's interesting because this is really more about an organizational perception of an individual instead of a guy like, say, Antonio Brown. You know, there were and Le'Veon Bell with those Steeler teammates. They had reached a point where that those teammates had enough of both of those players
and all
the drama and the antics. You ask the Giants team. You had former Giants hopping on social media when this thought process of him being this divisive distraction, hopping on social media and said he was nothing of the sort. As a teammate, he was a great teammate. So if you're the Giants, it's more of an organizational.
Right, an organization, right.
You're not we don't like the way you're representing our franchise. We need to send a message instead of what exactly the impact that he's having on the teammates. Because his teammates liked him.
Right. And if you speak to, you know, someone you're very good friends with, you've done a lot of shows with, and she's been on our show a lot, and I think she's great, Kim Jones, she knows Odell personally. She's covering the Jets and Giants so much. I've heard her talk about it on TV, you know, about him. And, like, as a person, like, she's a believer in him as a person, Beckham. Yeah, so, you know, thing is, like, I mean, who knows, right? What's going on behind closed doors? Who knows if he's being disrespectful to these, if he was being disrespectful to management or coaches. And also, they inherited him, right? So it's like you're inheriting a guy who's great. You're forced to play him because he's so great. You didn't bring him in. He's not one of your guys, even though he's great. And yet, he knows he's great. And even though his teammates love him, again, I'm not defending the Giants. I'm trying to look at both sides of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you let a guy like that go.
And
he's great, and he wasn't the headache Brown was.
Well, right, he was not to his teammates, but to the organization he was, and they had grown tired, and they basically said enough's enough. You mentioned it quickly before we go to break here. I think you're referencing the Kim Jones story she told on the NFL
Network
yesterday.
That's what I'm saying.
She tweeted out as well, and if you missed it, you should check it out. But basically, the story that Taz is referencing is that we all know Kim had a heart health issue during the course of the NFL regular season, which caused her, the Washington Redskins medical staff and team doctors down in D.C. basically saved her life. Not basically, they did.
They did, yeah.
And she was out of work for 46 days. And she told the story yesterday on the NFL Network that she started to swing back around to the Jets and the Giants, and when she was healthy, and all of a sudden out of the blue, and she was getting all these text messages, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. texted her with a video a video of one of the first interviews that she did with him when he was drafted coming out of LSU and basically said, I'm happy I'm going to see you again in 2019.
I know, it was very cool.
And so, and she said, the perception of Odell Beckham Jr. is different than the person that I know.
Yeah.
And so it was really a very, very heartwarming and touching story, but it also tells you about the fact that if you're going to paint Odell Beckham Jr. in one way as being this, you know, selfish millennial millionaire athlete, that's not the case.
Right. And to Moose's point here, anybody wants to see that, just go to Kim Jones's Twitter @ Kim Jones Sports, and it's pinned to the top of her account. You'll see it's great.
It is a very, very heartwarming, gut-wrenching
story. We're
going
to retweet it. Our show is.
Want to hear from you. You know, what's your take? If you're a Browns fan, how hard are you celebrating? If you're a Giant fan, are you celebrating that Beckham's gone? Are you disappointed? Upset? I had Giant fans call me saying they were almost brought to tears that Beckham was traded. They were that emotional.
That happens, you know.
The blonde mustache is gone. The hype is not. We hear from Antonio Brown next.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
All right, we're talking a lot about the Cleveland Browns, and, geez, I mean, how much they're going to be must-see TV and how great they're going to be. And we had a little quick conversation about, well, championships in Cleveland and what LeBron did. Let's go down to Richmond, Virginia, Moose. Chris, listening on radio.com. Chris, you're on with Taz and Moose. How's it going, bud?
Good morning, guys. I'll try not to argue with you today.
No problem.
What's going on, Chris?
All right. So, first of all, talking about Miami before we go to the Browns thing, I feel like if the Hurricanes win a national championship and the U becomes the U back, I think that's more important to that city than any pro team does anything. That's just my opinion.
Well, really?
You think so?
More than the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins would be, Chris. Really? You think the Hurricanes
would be? I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know, the Dolphins are wishy-washy fans. You know, the Marlins are wishy-washy. All approaches.
Yeah, transplants
they're,
a lot.
They're winning.
Yeah.
They're not. The Hurricanes are different.
That's different.
Well,
that's a good point.
Well, you are right about the Canes being different down there and almost being on the level of a pro team. But the point being is football, right? So, it's still down to the lifeblood of what that city is. Chris, if you want to make the argument that it's the University of Miami, we all know how popular that team is. You know, to get back to the days of Jimmy Johnson and when they're winning championships and being that kind of a level of a program and a staple on the national scene, that's fair. I mean, but it comes down to football and the fact of what the fan base is passionate about.
Yeah, that's fair. And the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, with the Browns and the Cavaliers, I feel like, you know, last year around this time, we were talking about the Browns winning one game in 2 years.
Right,
you
right.
You know, and now all of a sudden we're talking about must-see TV, AFC North champions, Super Bowl. So I feel like when LeBron James came out, I feel like everybody, and he was drafted by the Cavaliers, everybody thought that they're going to win a championship. It's just a matter of time. How long is it going to be before they win? Right now, what the Browns are doing was completely unexpected. It's completely caught everybody by surprise. And that's why I feel like, you know, with Cleveland Browns, that's more important than what LeBron James did with Cavaliers.
Chris, we're in agreement. I mean, we are.
Chris, and we appreciate the call, Chris.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
And again, like we said, both of us were saying the same. That state of Ohio is just, for those that haven't been through there or know or cover it, it's football central. I mean, it really is, as is Florida. I'm just saying, as far as high school ball.
Yeah, no doubt.
Great players. I mean, so many guys. So,
yeah, don't disagree. Don't disagree at all. But it's remarkable how quickly it can all change, Taz.
Yeah.
If you make the right draft choices, if you have the right football guys there to make the decisions. And you got to remember, this is a team that also just went through a coaching change, right?
Yeah,
they fired Hugh Jackson. Greg Williams was the interim head coach.
That's the key. Keep Hugh Jackson away.
Right. He's now the defensive coordinator with the Jets.
Right.
And they moved Freddie Kitchens from, you know, and got rid of the OC, Todd Haley, who still does have a job in the NFL. And they moved Kitchens, who I think at that stage was quarterback's coach?
Yeah.
And they made him the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Then that offense with Mayfield took off. And Freddie Kitchens is now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And now we're talking about a team that not only is going to be a playoff contender, you know, they're the betting favorite to win the AFC North.
You got to think about if you're Baker Mayfield, how happy he must be. Just you know as well as I think we even talked about it. When they made that decision, they brought Freddie Kitchens. They had Freddie Kitchens, you know, promote him to the head coach spot, take the OC spot. We were both talking about it had to be Mayfield. Dorsey went to Mayfield. Like, Dorsey had to go, I'm sorry, Mayfield had to go to bat, basically. Say, yeah, this is the guy I want.
Well, as an organization, Taz, you realize the importance of the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And we said it at the time, and we kind of flushed out the argument and the decision-making. What was, even though Greg Williams did a good job as interim head coach, and he would tell you that he deserved that job, who was more important? Kitchens or Williams for the long-term success of the Browns. And I think that's how they graded out. They basically said, it's Freddie Kitchens because we've got our quarterback, and even though Williams did a nice job, and say if they named Greg Williams the interim head coach or named him the head coach and he kept Freddie Kitchens aboard and he didn't take another job in the National Football League, and they have an offense that this upcoming year Mayfield throws for 38 touchdowns, so one of the best scoring Kitchens would be gone.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. I'd love to get into a deeper convo, but I think our anchor's getting annoyed.
No, we'll get to him.
Yeah, he looks annoyed, though.
He's going to be there.
He does look annoyed.
I'm not changing the conversation.
You don't want to change the conversation?
For,
you don't think
no,
so?
No, just for
I'm just letting
Bogus.
You know he does look annoyed.
I got it.
I looked confused by the thing on the TV.
Liar. Moose, continue with your thoughts, sir.
What?
No,
thought on what?
No, we were talking about Kitchens.
I gave it to you already.
I know, there I know.
All right, let's go. He's
trolling, they laughing, and rolling their eyes because I'm so wide and dirty.
Just because
What's going on, Bogus?
I'm extra white and nerdy today. I'm wearing khaki pants like Pete Pilotti. Here's your report, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Pick from a range of coverage options with the Name Your Price tool to find a price that works for you. A 9-game win streak. They were at home, and there was no Kevin Durant. Things looked good for the Rockets last night with the Warriors in town. And then the game started.
Lob up top for Draymond. Chased by Tucker. Ball to Cousins. Four to shoot. Got to go with three, with two. Rocks into a jumper. It's knocked it down. Season high 27. Warriors 102, Rockets 89.
That's Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Cousins scoring those 27. As Golden State built a 14-point fourth quarter lead, the Rockets got within one in the final seconds before the 106-104 final. No biggie about losing, says James Harden.
No, it's all right, man. We lost. We know we did. Good thing about it is we can play again on Friday. So, it doesn't. It's one loss.
Harden scored 29 last night but missed 10 of 12 threes. Klay Thompson added 30 to Cousins' 27 for the dub. The Jazz beat the Suns 114-97. Miami handled Detroit 108-74. And the Thunder topped the Nets 108-96. Brooklyn led by 17 in the first half. Russell Westbrook, 31 points, 12 boards, and 11 assists. With Nick Foles officially on board, the Jaguars releasing Blake Bortles yesterday. Eric Berry is done in Kansas City after playing just four games over the last two seasons. And the Dolphins cutting loose veteran guard Josh Sitton. He's expected to reunite with head coach Adam Gase with the Jets. QB Teddy Bridgewater visited the Dolphins last night. And the Niners signing former Falcons running back Tevin Coleman. Colgate in the NCAA tournament for the first time since O'Donnell Foyle in 1996. They dump Bucknell 94-80 in the Patriot League title game. Jordan Burns picking a good time to score a career-high 35. On the bubble, Oklahoma doing itself no favors with an opening round loss to West Virginia 72-71 in the Big 12. Major League Baseball and the Union poised to announce some new initiatives today. They'll include a $1 million prize for the Home Run Derby to entice bigger names to swing. Rosters expanding to 26, and that three-batter minimum for each pitcher will take effect next season. All of this part of actual CBA negotiations with the current labor deal expiring at the end of 2021. Hockey last night, Chicago a 5-4 win in Toronto. Jersey a 6-3 win in Edmonton. That ends a 7-game skid. And CBS and NBC traded Super Bowl broadcasts yesterday. Our TV colleagues now have the 2021 game, NBC in 22, so we can have the Super Bowl and the Olympics in the same year.
Guys, wow, that's special.
Go. Very nice.
That's great.
A nice swap.
Nice.
That's very nice.
That's great.
Thank you, Andrew. Great job.
Great
always.
Job, pal. You're you. The best.
We'll get into Antonio Brown as the blonde mustache is gone. And as he met with the media, did a little workout with Derek Carr as well. We'll get into that next. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's college basketball's conference championship week. Keep it here to talk about the games on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Spence Jr. versus Garcia this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order, make sure to go out there and order right now. 855-212-4227, your number to call. The Oakland Raiders, certainly with Mike Mayock, John Gruden at the helm, as that tandem now, year two for Gruden, year one for Mayock, has been certainly aggressive, Taz, and they make the big acquisition, as we discussed, a couple of mercurial wide receivers. Odell Beckham Jr. is now a Brown, and as we do know, Antonio Brown is now a member of the Oakland Raiders. As he met with the media yesterday, they officially introduced him. He's going to don the silver and black here moving forward. And here's Brown talking about the fact that he believes he can help turn things around for Oakland.
I bring accountability. You know, I bring actions. You know, not what I say, what I do. You know, how I approach things. You know, holding guys accountable in the receiver room. You know, challenging guys if we drop a ball. You know, we're going to have a pot. Just super accountability.
Wow. Here he is about his relationship with his former team, Pittsburgh.
I know still the nation is having a bad day today, but, you know, but it's always love. Encourage every kid who watched me work and were inspired by everything I've done. you know, hoping I continue to be a good example, continue to be a good role model.
Good example.
Sorry, Mr. Big Chef.
Sorry.
And here he is about talking about working with his new quarterback, Derek Carr.
I think he's hungry for success, hungry for turning the organization around, hungry to get on the winning side of things. And I'm just hungry for the same thing. So I think we stand for the same causes, God-fearing men, family-first type people. And we just want to be the best high craft.
And how about the head coach, John Gruden? He loves his new receiver.
The life that he has, his enthusiasm to play, is contagious. And when we signed Antonio Brown, you would be shocked at how many other players have wanted to come along with him. It's really been a really great experience.
Antonio Brown, Taz, I will say this. The mustache is gone. The act is gone. I'm going to put the money in the contract. I think a lot of it, if not all of it in its entirety, was a complete and utter act.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure that he got himself out of Pittsburgh.
Whole thing was a work, man. It was.
And that's because his personality, his mentality, his approach yesterday, and I get he's a new city, new team, new home.
Best behavior. He's happy.
Yeah. He's out of Pittsburgh. Best behavior, Taz. But it was even a little bit more than that. It was just a completely different person. I mean, I think everything that we saw that we had fun with, that we joked around about, that we mocked at times, the stuff on Cameo, the blonde mustache, Mr. Big Chest, working out on elliptical, the stuff with James Harrison, it was all basically done to make sure he gets himself out of Pittsburgh, and he's out of Pittsburgh, and he's a night and day difference.
So far. And I do think a lot of that, the bulk of that, and I agree with you, was a work, was BS, and it was just to get out of there. But it did happen. And John Gruden and his staff, Gruden's not a dumb guy. He knows that. So, as a coach, he's got to look at Tomlin like, well, God, that sucks that the guy does that with James Harrison while he's doing a press conference with the Facebook Live and all that stuff. Best behavior. Like, we were talking about this a whole bunch last week. Like, wherever he ends up, he'll be on his best behavior. Who's the real Antonio Brown? Is it Mr. Big Chest? Or was it that guy yesterday? Right? We don't know. We'll see. I know this. I don't know if you saw this. I saw a thing. I can't remember who tweeted it. I don't know if it was the Raiders or somebody. And it was Antonio Brown going to Derek Carr's house to meet him and say hello to him. And he walked in, and it was like it was very kind of awkward because they didn't know what to say to each other. There's a camera there, and they're hugging. Well, man, great to have you. Come in the house, blah, blah, blah. And Antonio Brown, he came off like a new green young rookie. Like, he was so humble. Like, he was in awe of meeting Derek Carr. Listen, if you're comparing who's a better football player, okay, Derek Carr's not even in the same realm as Antonio Brown's a player. But my point is, Antonio Brown was very humbled, at least he showed, when he walked in the man's house in his foyer. And he was so, like, just honored to call on teammate. And they chatted a little bit while they were on camera. Raider Nation, oh, it's going to be great, Raider Nation. Derek Carr was so welcoming of him. They're just trying to get some kind of connectivity. But
yeah.
So I thought it was interesting to see that.
Well, that's interesting. And then they went out and worked on a practice field, too.
Yeah.
As Derek Carr was throwing some footballs to Antonio Brown, and there were some kids in attendance on what looked like a field turf field. And Antonio Brown was playing around with the kids, too.
That's cool.
He looked like he was just – all the weight of the world, Taz, was off of his shoulders. It looked like, he was ready for a new beginning. Clearly, the Steelers were ready for a new beginning. And for the Oakland Raiders, they get a big-time playmaker. And if you're Antonio Brown, you're in awe of Derek Carr. If you're Derek Carr, you should be in awe of Antonio Brown because he's making your job a lot easier.
Oof.
With what he can do on the football field.
Yeah.
And I will say this, it does ring true. You can look at the act and the personality and what he did after the Steelers season came to an end, after week 17 of the regular season, Taz. The one thing you could look at Antonio Brown with the message there for the kids and for other guys is the way that he works. I'm not going to tell you that he's this unbelievable leader, but what Gruden had to say, what other people have had to say that's been around Antonio Brown is he's not slight on work, whether it be in the gym, whether it be on the practice field. you know, he does work his rear end off to get to where he is right now.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. I mean, he wouldn't have the success. He, you know, he wouldn't be the player he is without that. Even if he has all his God-given ability, you know, this guy's a grinder. He is, and he's great. And, you know, I'll tell you, again, we talked about the Browns fan, how happy they got to be. Jeez. I mean, the Raider fan, too.
Well, the Raider fans got to be excited. But here's the one thing, Taz, and if you were a Raider fan and you were nervous that that whole act was a sign of things to come, or Antonio Brown had lost his mind and you're going to get, you know, the blonde mustache and everything and the cameo stuff and all that was going to be a part of it here moving forward, Antonio Brown gets it. You know why? Because say that was all, quote-unquote, work. The work was off yesterday.
Right.
And the message and the correct messaging was sent when he officially gets introduced as an Oakland Raider. And that's a guy that shows you that even though people like looked at him and mocked him and laughed at him, a guy that gets it. Because yesterday he stepped in front of those cameras and it wasn't just about, you know, the stuff that you saw on social media and his personality. It was about the messaging and the proper messaging and saying, you know, I'm going to be an institute of change here in Oakland. I'm going to help bring it back. And the Raiders are going to be brought back. I'm going to help them do it. And that's exactly what you want to hear if you're a Raider fan.
Well, absolutely. And you know, again, on his best behavior, and he should be. And again, I think as you know, as time goes on here and what the Raiders do once the season, you know, once the games start getting played, season starts getting played, and wins and losses start happening and guys start catching the ball, not catching the ball, we'll see.
Sure.
If they hit some potholes, the Raiders, and what AB acts like. Let's go out to Lima, Ohio, Moose, and talk to Ben, who's listening on 93.1 FM. Ben, what's up? You're on with Taz and the Moose. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, Ben?
I was just going to call about the Browns, like if they would win the Super Bowl. Like, you guys saw all the videos and pictures of the Cavs winning, like everybody downtown.
Yep.
Like, if the Browns win, there won't be a Cleveland anymore. It will be like a bomb went off in Cleveland.
That's what I said before, dude. I said it'd be like the mistake on the lake would sink.
The party would not even be close to what we witnessed with the Cavs.
Like, people love the Browns in Ohio. And really, football is king in Ohio.
Right, exactly.
Like, exactly. There's no comparison.
Right. Even when you have a guy, I get the popularity of the sport, but even the popularity of the one individual doesn't change it. LeBron being an Akron guy, coming back home to deliver a title, coming back from 3-1 down against the Warriors in the NBA Finals, none of that even, you know, comes close to what the Browns would accomplish?
No.
Fair.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong, that feat is, you can't deny it. You know what I mean? But, like, football, like, I would argue that if the Indians won a championship, it might be more important than the
Cavaliers.
Yeah. Really? That's interesting.
Yeah,
you know, even with the Indians doing it.
Ben, I'm assuming you're a Browns fan.
Actually, no.
Really?
I'm a Steeler fan.
Oh, God. Also, real quick, are you happier or not happy that AB's gone? Well, if you have to think about it, that means you probably don't care, right? And that's cool. Meaning that you're indifferent about it, right?
Yeah, like, I don't care about Bell because you guys saw what Connor did last year.
Yeah, excellent player.
AB is a stud. You can't deny his productivity. You know what I mean?
He's a great player.
Great player. No doubt
about it. And you guys are up against it. And Ben, thanks a lot for
the
call. Perspective. Being in Ohio, being a Steeler fan, that is being in enemy territory. But, that's the one thing you can't rip about Antonio Brown is what he represents as being a football player. And the production that he has on the field, Taz, and every single way that he can help you win.
Well, you know, I mean, I agree. I agree. But, Moose, I just had an epiphany. Do you think it's too early, like this time of the year, for the social media team to put up a poll? You know, will AB have a meltdown during this coming season? It's too early. Do you think it's too early or do you think it's a good time, in your opinion? What do you
probably
think?
A little early.
You think it's a little early?
A little early.
You see where I'm going.
Well, I understand. Let the Raider fan enjoy himself.
All right, yeah. Please.
Herself. Himself.
A little early. Yeah, maybe
right. Let him have some fun.
I just threw it out there, though.
I know.
I get it.
Right. When we get into to August, we'll have those polls will be out there. Right?
Yeah, man, of course.
Get ready to celebrate if you're a Raider fan. AB was all aboard yesterday. A lot of people got to see Kyler Murray in shorts. We discuss his pro day next. Taz Booth, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.